Zone at 9:33. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Blaine Bishop, Jonathan Schaefer, alongside of Kevin Ingram. Mark, as we mentioned, is out this week, but that doesn't mean that people aren't thinking about Mark. Like on Twitter, Jordan Sims says, a Mark Howard documentary could certainly be interesting. LOL, he says.
No question about it. I'm just interested in his daily routine.
Oh, you want more of like a reality show, right?
Yeah, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just add that on to his documentary.
Mm-hmm. What about something like, you know, Howie in the House or something like that?
Why don't we call it Rio Bravo?
Yeah, some of his hot spots. Yeah.
We've already decided that instead of a football life for Blaine, it's going to be called a cowboy life in honor of Bill Cowher's nickname for him.
Yeah, the little cowboy face emoji was made for Blaine.
Oh, there's no doubt. You've used that all the time for Blaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he called me the cowboy. He used to be a cowboy.
I love when Blaine uses emojis because I usually have no idea what he's trying to say.
That's the whole point.
But see, the thing is I usually do understand what he's trying to say. I don't know what that says about me.
Oh, man, I thought we spoke the same language.
Because that's kind of how my wife and I communicate on when we do text messaging, too. It's basically
I like when Kevin responds with a bitmoji of himself. That causes me to pop.
That's my favorite. It took me a long time to make that thing.
Blaine's got a good bitmoji, too.
Yeah, Blaine's bitmoji is really good.
You know where that all started? It was because Clay said, quit sending me emoji, text back and forth. And I go, oh, okay, I won't do that again. And then that decided me to rep it up even more.
Exactly,
and I was sending three or four of them all on one line.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how it all started. He doesn't like that? I'm going to keep sending it. Thanks for telling me.
What people don't know is that Coach Mack has a strong bitmoji and emoji game. Really strong.
Oh, his is off the charts now. He made me have to step mine up. I had to call and ask him how he got some of those there on the Samsung.
Yeah, his is number one. There's no question. All right, let's bring in our friend Steve Merrill from Pro Sports Info. Steve, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Kevin, doing well.
Do you have like a bit emoji of yourself that you use when you text with people?
Yeah, I was never big on the emoji thing, but it's kind of hard to avoid them. Now, I find myself using the thumbs up emoji quite often as it kind of gets the Fonzie emoji, I guess we could call it, for the older viewers.
Or maybe, do you use like the little money bags or the stacks of money? I mean, that would be, I would think, right up your alley, too.
The money bags would be great. I haven't had a reason to use those for a couple months, unfortunately. I've been on an unpaid furlough, I guess you could say, until these sports get going.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been a little tough. How nice was it to see NASCAR? And how interesting was it that, the amount of money that was put down on that race at Darlington on Sunday, they said, it was at Daytona 500 levels.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for NASCAR, obviously. This is their one chance to really, I don't want to say shine, because it's a different situation. Obviously, they're racing twice a week. There's no fans, but I do think it's a good, chance for them to expose themselves to viewers that normally wouldn't watch. In fact, as you guys might know, as historians, the real first boom NASCAR back was that they ever got was back in 1979 during the Daytona 500, in which half the East Coast was snowed in. That's back when we had like three TV networks. And who was it? Cale Yarborough and I believe maybe Davey Allison. They got in the big fist fight afterwards. And it was one of the most watched races ever. And that got some new racing fans spawned throughout the 80s. And then, of course, Fox took over in 2001. Dale Earnhardt Sr. died, unfortunately, the Daytona 500. But that brought a lot of spotlight to the sport. They had a strong run throughout the 2000s until the recession hit in 08. And I've always said they've never really recovered since 08-09, the attendance has never been sellouts like it used to be. In fact, Darlington lost their second race. They've only had one race for several years, so I thought it was kind of ironic that the one track that gets the back-to-back races for really the first time ever in a Cup Series like this, two races in 4 days, was Darlington. And it's a good chance for them to get some new viewers. And I think sports betting is really key for NASCAR. I've said that for years now. It's a great sport to bet on. Yet a lot of people do not bet on NASCAR. They get some TV viewers, but they aren't really necessarily sports bettors on Sundays. They're betting on NFL games instead. And hopefully it brought some new bettors in with all these states legalizing sports betting. And, of course, with fantasy sports, NASCAR is great for the daily fantasy as well. It's a good chance for them to pick up some momentum here before these other sports start back up.
What are you looking at as far as this week's race in Charlotte, which is always the longest one of the year, and also, you know, some of the soccer leagues that are getting cranked back up?
Yeah, the soccer, you know, is so difficult to bet on just due to the fact it's so low scoring. Whenever you have the option to bet on a tie, a three-way result, it always makes it tough for me. So soccer is the one sport I kind of stay away from just because when you're talking about 1-0 games, it's just very difficult because you could have either team and then you have to decide might end in the draw because the regulation time betting is three-way betting in soccer. NASCAR I do like, though, because you have different options such as head-to-head winners. The matchups, a lot of people prefer those like they do in golf. But you also can, you know, take 4 or 5 drivers to win the race, get them at 5-1, 10-1, 15-1, and get a nice payoff if one of them hits. The first thing I'll point out about Charlotte is if you're doing your handicapping, be very careful to not include the fall race the last 2 years. This has become a different track for the fall race. It's half road course, half oval, the Roval, as they call it. So the 2018 and 2019 October races at Charlotte are not the same type of track. So you do not necessarily want to look at those two results. The cars that won those, by the way, were Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney. I do think they'll run well this week because it is half over the oval still, but it's a different track. Guys that have done very well at this track recently in the regular full 600 race like we have this Sunday, Martin Truex Jr. won last year. He has now won 3 of the last 6 times on this track in the regular race. Another guy you got to look at is Kyle Busch. He won 2 races ago. He's Truex's teammate. So Gibbs Racing has now won 3 straight here. And Kyle Busch has also been dominant in the Xfinity and the truck series. In fact, he's won 6 of the last 10 truck races on this track as well. He'll be running everything. In fact, he'll run 4 races at Charlotte over the next 6 or 7 days, all 3 circuits, including the Cup Circuit twice. Those are some guys you want to look at. By the way, I'll throw out a sleeper, though, for you. As I mentioned, I love long shots. Austin Dillon won here 4 races ago, and he also had back-to-back wins in the Xfinity Series in 2015. We don't mention Austin Dillon much, but this is definitely one of his best tracks.
We have Steve Merrill with us. He is from Pro Sports Info. Blaine?
Yeah, Steve, I guess I'm going to ask about the pro teams and sports, let's say, that are going to make a comeback, and that's the NHL and NBA. How should bettors go about betting when these two leagues start back up?
Yeah, hopefully, Blaine, they do start back up. I've talked to some of my Canadian contacts over the months, and I've gotten mixed reviews on hockey, and that surprised me. You know, back in the day, guys, you'd feel like hockey would be the first sport back. Those guys just didn't care. They didn't wear helmets. They were tough. They were rough. But I've heard, at least from the hockey contacts I've talked to over the few months, that they've actually got a lot. The players have a lot of concerns there, which surprised me a bit. I expect that more from the NBA. Obviously, basketball, you're kind of on top of each other more. Of all those 3 major sports, so I thought baseball should be the one that comes back first. In fact, I've said for a couple months now, no reason why NASCAR can't race. So I was really glad to see NASCAR come back. And I thought golf should be a close second, and golf returns this week as well. So it made a lot of sense to me that NASCAR and golf came back first. I mean, especially NASCAR, you've got one driver contained in a car with a helmet on. The pit crew guys wear helmets already. They're all kind of separated. But I think baseball is the one that should be coming back. These guys are already social distance on the diamond. Other than in the dugout, you're almost always 6 feet apart. Catcher and umpire have masks on as well. They're the only ones around the hitter. But it looks like, you know, a little bit of a pay issue there with baseball. So it's tough to know exactly how these leagues are going to play out. I have heard the NBA wants to start up as soon as possible. I've heard that for over a month now. A lot of it revolves around testing, of course. With Korean baseball beginning a few weeks ago, they were able to test guys. Regardless, though, and even if we talk about football, I don't see fans in the stands anytime soon. And I'm just assuming there will not be fans maybe the entire NFL season. I'm okay with that. I think from a handicapping perspective, it will not make that much of a difference. We've seen with the NASCAR races, it hasn't made any difference so far. And I don't really think it'll be a huge deal in baseball. Those stadiums are half empty most of the regular season as well. One thing I'll point out, though, when you're looking at these future odds, especially a sport like baseball, be very careful. Make sure you know what the rules are going to be. Obviously, season over-under win totals for baseball will be completely different depending on how many games they play. That's a no-brainer. But the odds to win the divisions, of course, it looks like they're going to switch up to different team divisions. But no matter what they switch to, less games favors underdogs. When it's a 162-game season, very unlikely a team like Kansas City is going to get it done. But if it's a 100-game or a half a season, an 81-game season, they have about a 50 to 60 times better chance of winning a division with less games. So that's just something to keep in mind. No matter how these playoff formats are, same with the NBA or NHL, if it's a 5-game series instead of a 7 or a 3-game series, the underdog has a much better chance.
Well, real quickly, I guess, what are the odds that college football starts on time, or will it start later?
Yeah, it's interesting that, I saw a few months ago they were putting over-unders for, like, baseball, basketball. In fact, when this first happened, it was mid-April. This is back in March. It was mid-April, and then it was mid-June. And then by the end of March, it was mid-July, and then it wasn't even on the board anymore by April. And I haven't been able to find odds anywhere since then. My feeling with college football, I do have some concerns. But I think the big boys, the Power Five, after missing the NCAA tournament, a lot of money be left on the table not to have a football season as well. But keep in mind, a lot of schools lose money. In fact, the majority probably lose money during the football season. I would not be surprised to see some of the smaller conference teams not play, maybe some conferences not play in general, especially since it looks like some schools are not going to have students. The biggest concern I have is California, as there's a lot of talk out there about the state universities not opening. And, of course, that would be some powerhouse Pac-12 teams. So I think of all the big conferences, the Pac-12 is the most in jeopardy. I do think we'll get college football. I'm not sure everyone will be playing, though.
Steve, there's not a lot to choose from. Give us a pick or two for the weekend.
Yeah, in the NASCAR, as I mentioned, Martin Truex and Kyle Busch, Gibbs Racing looks like the team to beat this weekend. So I think you want to look at some of those drivers. And a long shot in NASCAR, look at Austin Dillon. You're going to get a nice payoff, probably 20-1 or higher. And he has won here in both the Xfinity and Cup Series races.
All right. That is Steve Merrill from Pro Sports Info, a regular on our show for many years.